This interview is for information only and should not be considered as investment advice or a recommendation to buy shares in the company featured. Welcome to this Stockbox interview. Welcome to this Stockbox interview with Mick Billing, the CEO of Thor Mining. Hi, Mick. How are you?
G'day, Mark. Well, thanks, and I'm great to be with you again.
Yes, it's good to be catching up with you again, Mick. I wonder if we can start. I know there's been some news recently, but I wonder if you can perhaps give us in a few words what's going on across the Thor portfolio at the moment in terms of activities.
Yeah, sure, because there is a little bit happening, Mark. Perhaps starting with copper, the work we're doing at Kapunda via our investment in EnviroCopper and at Alford East, where we're farming in directly, we've got quite a bit coming up in the not too distant future. There's what is known as a silt test at Kapunda by EnviroCopper. That's what I term the final piece of feasibility for that project, after which we'll be going, hopefully, before the year's out, charging into full-scale commercial feasibility for that project. Over at Alford East, where we're farming into an 80% interest in the resource there, and that's quite a tidy resource for those who don't know it, 177,000 tonnes of copper in the ground. Mm-hmm. We're going to be doing some drilling probably late April, early May. The objective there is mainly to get some material for test work to confirm our belief that that in-situ recovery technique for the copper will work there. It's a start of that process. There'll be a number of or a series of test work to be conducted along the way. We may drill the holes, some holes a little deeper into the resource, hoping to extend it. So there'll be a fair bit of activity going with that quite soon. At Ragged Range in Western Australia in the Pilbara, our geologists are heading over there in probably about 10 days' time. Mm-hmm. And they'll be doing the final piece, hopefully, of site selection for drilling, so that we can march a drill rig in there to test those what appear to be very tasty gold targets there that we have there. And finally, in Colorado, the uranium and vanadium project we have there, we're waiting on the regulator to send his team out to assess the access so that they can permit the program. Mm-hmm. There were blizzards in Colorado, that part of Colorado, last week, I'm told. But this time of year, one would expect the place to dry out and the ground conditions to improve quite quickly. So we don't think that'll take too long. So a fair bit happening in the next couple of months on a number of fronts, and all that work is fully funded.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. So a few things are starting to happen and things becoming mobilised. That's very good. So let's just have a look now on the first RNS that you announced recently, which was the commencement of trading on the OTCQB venture market. So that is a market on the New York Stock Exchange. So why have Thor gone for this listing, Mick? You must be triple listed now, is that right?
I guess we are, Mark. Our main listing, of course, is AIM, and that's unlikely to change. Mm-hmm. Where the listing on ASX is a secondary listing to the AIM, and about 25% of our shares, 20 to 25% of our shares trade on ASX. I guess we have now a couple of uranium vanadium projects in the US, as well as our tungsten project at Pilot Mountain in Nevada. There's been interest from a number of people in the US that I talked to in the investing field, in the capital markets, who have suggested to us that because we have US projects, we will get US investment. We will get US retail investment if we tell the story, tell the story well, and do some work on those projects. Now, we're not over there to raise money, but we are there to try and create an extra group of investors who like the Thor story. Those we've talked to have suggested to us that an OTC listing does help. Now, we're here to test that out. You know, we've only been listed for several days. We have commenced trading. Trading is relatively thin at this stage, but there have been a number of trades at prices that reflect the market in London or on ASX, but perhaps a smidgen better. But the trading volumes are still relatively low. We're hopeful that eventually we've got a new group of investors in the USA who like what we do and want to be part of it.
Okay. Well, it potentially could be a good move, particularly with your North American assets there. So let's watch this space and see how trading goes over on the OTCQB market in New York. So the other RNS that you released as well recently was on your US project, US uranium and vanadium, and this time an exploration update with three priority drill targets identified and drilling scheduled for May. So, I mean, what can you tell us about this, and how do you plan to maximise value with your exploration plans here?
Hey, Mark, we've got 15 or so holes scheduled on three targets. Mm. A couple of those are in a very close to what is known as the Wedding Bell group of mines, a bunch of mines that were quite active in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and early 80s. In the 20th century. Now, mining stopped there in the early 80s, not because they ran out of ore or ran out of material to mine, but because the price of uranium took quite a tumble, and a whole bunch of uranium mines closed down. And one, for example, here in Australia that I was part of trying to get into production at the time, stopped because the market dropped. Now, the market's improved. It's improved quite a bit since those days. And the grades of uranium and of vanadium in what is known as the Uravan mineral belt are considered to be extraordinarily high compared with most uranium mines around the globe, and particularly those we have relatively cheap mining opportunities, and we're keen to test those out. Now, the other target in what we call Area 23 appears to have the same geology, or identical geology to that at in the Weddingville area. Mm-hmm. It's never been, to our knowledge, and to the knowledge of our consultants in Colorado. They're based there. They know this area quite well. There's no good reason why this hasn't been tested. We need to do that. Exploration drilling always comes carries the risk you'll find nothing. But in this case, it's a very tempting target. The reward might be quite substantial if we're fortunate enough to intersect some decent quality uranium and vanadium.
Okay. And I noticed in the RNS, Mick, that you talk about your team there, that you I can't remember the exact words, but you say that your team is a very good team, and you've got a US team specifically for this. So, I mean, who is on the project team, and how important is that team for this project to progress?
Well, let's look at the Australian team. Our exploration manager, Nicole Galloway, has worked in the uranium industry in the past and has been part of a discovery of a uranium project in here in South Australia. Mark McGough, non-executive director, worked for quite a few years with a uranium exploration outfit that did have a couple of did end up with a couple of deposits that became resources. I worked in the uranium business in the 80s and then again in the 90s with the Olympic Dam project, which is acknowledged to be at this still I think the largest uranium deposit in the world. So we all have a background in uranium work, uranium mining, processing, and exploration, as well as in marketing. In the our team in the US, our Colorado-based team, are a group of consulting engineers, one of whom has been in the uranium industry, in uranium exploration industry, the best part of the last 40 years. So it's a pretty well-credentialed outfit. We've done a bit of this before.
Okay. Well, Mick Billing there, the CEO of Thor Mining, thank you very much for that update.
Mark, thank you very much for the opportunity and great to talk to you again.
Thank you for listening to this Stockbox interview. For more information, interviews and videos, visit our website at stockboxmedia.com or give us a follow on Twitter by searching at stockboxmedia.